From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on this Wednesday morning. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee plans a hearing in late September on seed and chemical company mergers that he claims are threatening agriculture input competition. Now, Chuck Grassley is announcing the Senate hearing in the wake of a Treasury Department panel's favorable completion of its national security review of the ChemChina-Syngenta merger. The Judiciary Committee chairman calls it alarming that a state-owned enterprise with long-term strategic aims involving China's national security may have yet another stake in U.S. agriculture. Now, Grassley expects industry and agency witnesses to testify next month before his panel on seed and ag chemical industry consolidation.
The hearing will focus on the transactions currently being reviewed by antitrust regulators and the current trend in consolidation of the seed and chemical industries. The details are currently being worked out.
But Grassley expects witnesses from companies affected by the mergers and regulatory agencies. He also expects his committee to exert some leverage on regulators and parties involved.
Partly to make sure that Justice and Federal Trade Commission does a proper job. Partly if there's specific concerns about anti-competitive things, like we did in the beer merger last December. Try to get some commitments out of the companies, what they're going to do.
And Grassley says the seed industry is on the brink of a massive realignment if the ChemChina-Syngenta and DowDuPont deals are completed and another firm acquires Monsanto. He argues the current structure of the six major seed and chemical companies would be reduced to four, one of which would be owned by China's government. DowDuPont would confront or control 76% of the corn seed market, 66% of soybeans. Grassley's urging Justice and the FTC to coordinate their antitrust reviews, something he says they may now do. Well, merger talks between Monsanto and Bayer Ag are advancing after a series of meetings in which the companies have addressed issues, including the purchase price and a termination fee. That according to Bloomberg. Sources close to the talks say a deal could be reached in the next 2 weeks. Bayer CEO Werner Baumann and Monsanto CEO Hugh Grant have held constructive meetings in recent weeks, but Bloomberg said its sources caution that negotiations could still fall apart or be delayed. Any potential merger between the two would likely face fierce antitrust approval. We'll be back with a Pro Farmer Crop Tour right after this. Well, as we continue on with what's going on inside agriculture in the second day of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, many corn fields that were sampled had calculated yields that started with a 2. As scouts worked their way up from Fishers, Indiana to Bloomington, Illinois, they found some of the big numbers that were expected. Now, the final numbers for Indiana came in at 173.42 bushels to the acre for corn and 1,178.41 pods of soybeans in a 3-foot by 3-foot square. Now, Kelly Bissett is a DuPont Pioneer field agronomist for the central part of Illinois, and she said there's very few things that get in the way of those big yields between now and harvest time.
You know, we've been in a pattern of moisture, so that is one thought. As we're cooling off here these last couple of days, if we saw more moisture come back and we had issues as far as storms coming through, right now the stalks are still in decent condition. There is some evidence of crown rot and anthracnose stalk rot, but in minimal cases. So that would be one concern. You know, the crop is in great condition from a stay green perspective, growing into black layer, and that's different than what we've seen most years. A lot of times when we're senescing, it's at the same time we're going towards that final grain fill, but we're not seeing that this year. So we've got good plant health and stalk integrity overall, but certainly if we stay or go into a wet pattern, standability could become an issue. Late season things are certainly always a concern depending on how we end the season.
Now, the dry weather in June didn't allow for much development in the soybean fields across Illinois, but that changed 1 month later.
When we hit the July timeframe and moisture came, they took off. We've got really tall soybeans this year, and as everyone knows, big beans don't always mean big yields. But from that perspective, we know that they've podded okay. I don't see pods set real close to the ground, which is that indication of the June timeframe probably aborting those flowers. So we know our yields are probably going to come more from overall seed size than seed count, in my opinion, this year.
Now, day three of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour goes from Bloomington, Illinois to Iowa City. And Iowa City, Iowa, by the way, and that going on today. Also, when we take a look at the west side of the tour, Pro Farmer's Nebraska corn yields were lower this year than last year. However, soybean pod counts were slightly higher. Pro Farmer released results last night, Nebraska City, Nebraska. Results showed Nebraska corn yields at 158 bushels per acre. That's down 4% from a year ago, 165. Soybean 3x3 square pod counts were higher at 1,223 compared to 1,220 last year. Chip Flory with Pro Farmer says since 1998, running the western leg of the tour, says they haven't missed a trend in Nebraska.
When we're down and USDA is up, something's amiss. And I think the most important thing to understand about this year's corn crop is when you're driving down the road, it looks like every bit of what USDA says it's going to be. Once you get past the end rows, you get into the field, you pull the samples, you pull back the husks, the ears just aren't there.
He says Nebraska growers do a great job of growing soybeans.
Because it's unchanged, you got to believe that because of what they've learned about growing soybeans and they continue to learn about growing soybeans, an unchanged pod count could translate into a bigger yield for the state. And USDA's up a bushel from last year, went up from 48 bushels to 49 bushels for the state. That's entirely possible. I'm not going to rule that out. I'm with these guys out here in Nebraska, I'm never going to rule out a good bean crop.
And, of course, Western Leg Scouts are checking crop conditions in Iowa today.
Honestly, I don't know how this crop is going to measure up compared to a year ago. This is really one of the cases where I want to go out there and just let the crop tour be what it is, be that discovery process.
And the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is sponsored by DuPont Pioneer. Scouts will travel up the western side of Iowa, ending in Spencer tonight. Now, you can follow the tour online at profarmer.com, and if you're into Twitter, it's hashtag PFTour16. Well, we're going to take a break here. Dairy farmers, they're up next. They need help from USDA. We'll talk about it right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, the nation's dairy farmers are in need of emergency assistance and low milk prices. Members of Congress recently asked USDA to provide assistance as the U.S. all milk price fell to $14.50 per hundredweight in May. That's the lowest level since 2009. American Farm Bureau Federation Market Intelligence Director John Newton says USDA has the authority to actually get some help done.
61 members of Congress asked USDA to use its authority to do something to provide assistance to dairy farmers. And here at Farm Bureau, we supported those members of Congress by writing a letter asking USDA to use its authority for some food purchasing programs.
Specifically, Newton explains Farm Bureau is asking USDA to use funding to buy American-made cheeses for use in food assistance programs.
By purchasing cheeses, that helps to reduce the inventory levels that we have of cheese in this country and should help to boost the prices that farmers ultimately receive for their milk.
Dairy farm cash receipts from milk sales have fallen $16 billion since the record highs of 2014, when the Margin Protection Program was authorized by the Farm Bill to assist dairy farmers. Now, dairy farmers say more assistance is needed because the program is fully offsetting price declines.
Right now, the ball is in USDA's court. And as soon as they determine what they're going to do, we'll be able to analyze that proposal and put together an estimate of what we think it could do to help milk prices and help farmers.
And, of course, meaning not fully offsetting price declines. Farm Bureau also notes that in 2015, just last year, the nation lost 1,225 dairy farms due to declining prices. Well, also, when we're talking about what's going on inside agriculture, a new poll from Morning Consult shows the majority of voters favor trade. The poll shows 57% of registered voters have a favorable view of fair trade, and 50% say they'd be more likely to support TPP if they knew it would provide new markets overseas for U.S. farm products. The American Farm Bureau Federation says the results are something all candidates should keep in mind as a congressional vote on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement comes closer to reality. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall says the more people know, the more they'll support this vitally important agreement. Other findings include 52% of voters say they'd be more likely to support TPP if they knew the deal would increase annual income in the U.S. by $131 billion. And 69% of voters support trade policies that'll open new markets for U.S. products and U.S. farmers, while less than 1 in 10, or 8%, oppose. We'll be back and wrap up what's going on inside agriculture right after this. As we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Wednesday morning, we enjoy all our listeners from 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Ag News 890, and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, both Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, Beef Products Incorporated is not dropping its lawsuit filed in 2012 against ABC and journalists Diane Sawyer and Jim Avila, but it has removed a number of defendants from the complaint. The lawsuit was filed over a series of reports BPI alleges were inaccurate and cost the company a significant chunk of its sales of lean, finely textured beef. Politico reports BPI dropped ABC's news division. ABC correspondent David Curley, two former USDA microbiologists and a former BPI quality control manager who acted as a whistleblower against the company. The lawsuit seeks more than $1.2 billion in damages. It charges ABC with making more than 200 false and disparaging statements about BPI's product, a form of beef trimmings injected with ammonia to fight pathogens and helping to fortify the nickname Pink Slime. BPI claims ABC's disinformation campaign caused sales of the product to decline from 5 million pounds a week to less than 2 million pounds, forcing BPI to close 3 facilities and let go of more than 700 employees. While the Department of Agriculture will begin allowing meat, poultry, and egg producers to use labels such as contains no GMO or derived from beef-fed no GMO feed. The guidance announced last week takes effect immediately and gives food makers information and examples on how to label products as non-GMO, known as a negative claim, according to Reuters. USDA says the nationwide voluntary GMO labeling law, approved by Congress and signaled and signed by the president, sets rules for labeling products as GMO-free, allowing for the change. Previously, USDA only allowed the use of the phrases GMO and genetically modified organism on livestock or poultry labeling. The new law gives USDA 2 years to create and finalize rules implementing that law. Well, it looks like Wright County, Iowa, approved an agreement to allow Prestige Farms to build a $240 million pork processing plant near Eagle Grove, Iowa. The decision comes from 6 weeks of public hearings and last week's announcement by the Iowa Economic Development Authority. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.